This is Money Talk.
I can take money and I can make it into more money.
25 years on the air with advice on money matters. Here's your host, Bob Brinker.
On your radio across America, worldwide on the web, it's Money Talk. Thank you for joining us. And we'll be getting to our guest segment shortly. I'll tell you more as we get closer. Let's take a look at the week ahead in the canyons of Wall Street. There will be some data coming out that will garner some attention. Of course, the Federal Open Market Committee in Washington, meeting Tuesday and Wednesday, and then on Wednesday afternoon Eastern Time, they will issue their statement, and they will have their media conference chaired by the new Fed Chair, Jerome Powell, at 2:30 Eastern Time on Wednesday. Thursday, we will, Wednesday, we get existing home sales, and they are estimated at an annual rate of 5.42 million. They take the monthly number and annualize it. And, of course, existing home sales have been slowing, so we're looking for a possible small rebound here based on the pending sales data. Existing home sales count the number of previously constructed homes, and condos and co-ops in which a sale closed during the month. We'll get that figure on Wednesday. We'll get new home sales on Friday. New home sales are very important as they produce a lot of economic activity. Estimated to come in at 593,000 in something in that general area. That's where they came in the prior month. Not looking for a dramatic change there. But, again, very important figure because new home sales, again, a lot of economic activity flows from that figure. Federal Open Market Committee meeting will conclude on Wednesday, and I think those are the major things. We'll get the leading economic index coming out also this week, and that's estimated at 0.3%. That'll be out Thursday, along with jobless claims. Thursday, they've been on like a three-year run, 3 years of near-record lows, expected to stay there with this report coming up on Thursday. So all of these figures coming out. Meanwhile, we go into the week with the 10-year Treasury yielding at around 2.85%, the 30-year Treasury yielding a little bit over 3%, but very, very close to a level which is a critical level. Right around the 3.2 level is a very critical level on the 30-year Treasury. So watch that yield. If that yield were to break significantly above that level, could have implications, significant implications for what's happening to the bond market. Again, the bond market, the 10-year Treasury, got down to its low in July of 2016, less than 2 years ago, about a year and a half, a year and three quarters ago. And since that time, it's been on the rise, 2.85. It's more than doubled. And certainly it makes sense that that rate could continue to move higher going forward, although it's been a very gradual process, of course, as the economic growth has also been gradual. I mean, here in the first quarter, we're going to be getting some GDP data going probably not till late April. We'll get that. But when we get that first quarter GDP data, the first quarter is almost done now. It's looking slow, looking something in the general area of 2 and a fraction. But gradually, the estimates have been coming down in the first quarter, and we'll see where that figure comes out. Right now, the betting is something in the general area of 2 and a fraction for first quarter estimated real GDP growth. Again, the preliminary estimate on that number will come out in late April. This is Money Talk.
Money Talk.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
Ugh, a middle seat with these stomach problems? That's my fear of flying.
Sound like you? If it does, you could be one of the many people with a digestive condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. Even if you don't know what EPI is, you might know the symptoms. Frequent diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain. If you have even just one of these symptoms, you could still have EPI, because not everybody experiences EPI the same way, which is why it's so important to open up to your doctor about all your symptoms. And the good news is, EPI is manageable, so don't keep a lid on it. Go to identifyepi.com. Complete the symptom checker and use it to have a conversation with your doctor. Don't keep a lid on it. Visit IdentifyEPI.com. Brought to you by AbbVie.
At Simple Mobile, you get the no contract advantage. Unlimited talk and text plus 3 gigabytes of high-speed data for $25 a month with no mystery fees and no activation fees ever. Just $25 a month on a lightning-fast 4G LTE nationwide network and no contract. That's our best deal ever. Buy yours now at nationwide retailers like Best Buy or at Simple Mobile dealers. Simple Mobile, out with the old, in with the simple.
A month equals 30 days. Limited time offer ends 9/30/18. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at simplemobile.com.
Ratings based on a 2018 survey of 1,600 U.S. singles.
I wasn't so sure about getting on eHarmony, but my brother said, hey, I met my wife on eHarmony. Just give it a shot.
They got us talking, and then we realized we were meant for each other.
eHarmony has the highest quality of matches. That's why we're rated the number one trusted dating site.
Gave it a shot, and I found the best person for my life.
For a limited time, get a free month included when you buy a three-month plan. Go to eHarmony.com. Use code 3333. eHarmony.com. Use code 3333.
Please welcome to the stage, the termite.
Is this on? You tell me, what is the deal with bark? That's right. How much I gotta chew to get to the good part of the wood? It's like filling up on a salad. I'm no model.
Termites aren't funny. Losing the equity in your home won't have you busting a gut. Visit Orkin.com to schedule an inspection and get 15% off.
Runny noses. Time for a Target run. Stop by and fill your prescriptions at CVS Pharmacy at Target and earn a $5 Target coupon for 10 prescriptions filled. And while you're here, pick up a Kleenex 4-pack for $5.99. Get low prices on thousands of items today and every day. Target run and done. Up to $50 in Target coupons annually. Not valid on certain prescriptions, including those purchased in Arkansas, New Jersey, or New York. Go to cvs.com/extracare-target or the pharmacy for details. Prices may vary.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, this is Shaq. When I was playing ball, our team doctors helped me overcome pain with something called TENS therapy. And Icy Hot Smart Relief is that same kind of therapy. You just push a button and whoosh. Smart Relief sends waves of relaxing pulses that immediately start blocking pain. Back, hip, knee, or shoulder pain. Even works for hours after you turn it off. Man, this Smart Relief is so smart they should call it Shaq Relief. Ooh, I like that one. Somebody write that down for me. Turn on Smart Relief and turn off pain. Get my lawyer on the phone. You need to patent that.
Use only as directed.
To help them get work done.
This is Money Talk.
Coast to coast, border to border, in the islands of Hawaii and north to Alaska. It's America's Money Program, Money Talk. Bob Brinker here. Thank you for joining us. Our guest in this segment is Jonathan Haskell, Professor of Economics at Imperial College Business School in London. And Jonathan, firstly, we thank you for staying up late, burning the midnight oil to join us from London on our discussion. And we're talking about the new book by Jonathan Haskell, Capitalism Without Capital, The Rise of the Intangible Economy. Jonathan, thank you for joining us. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Bob. Absolute pleasure to be on. Thank you.
Tell us why you wrote this book.
Well, what we think is going on, Bob, is that there's been a substantial change in the nature of investment by companies, not only in the US, but also in Europe as well. They used to invest much more in tangible assets. Now they're investing in intangible assets, and we thought that that was worth documenting.
And why should our listeners be interested in this switch to intangible investment?
Well, I think they should be interested, Bob, because it's big bananas. Essentially, as we try to document in the book, for about every dollar of tangible investment, that is to say investment in buildings and computer equipment and plant and vehicles and all the things that companies used to invest in. For about every dollar of that type of investment, U.S. companies are investing around $1.15, maybe even $1.20, in a whole range of intangible assets, anything from R&D, which people will be familiar with, to things like software and data, things like design, things like branding, marketing. And those intangible assets are now just much more important dollar for dollar in the investment behavior of American companies.
Although companies have always invested in things like design, right? I mean, that's nothing new.
Oh, no, absolutely right. But what's been sort of slowly happening over the past sort of 30, 40 years is that those types of intangible investments have just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And now they've basically overtaken the tangible investment. And a lot of that, of course, is around software and data and things like that, as well as design that you mentioned, but also branding and reputation, you know, these very important intangible assets which companies, you know, have to make in order to be a bigger commercial success in the market nowadays.
Now, one of the consequences of this move is, of this change, is something you describe as secular stagnation. Tell us a little about that.
Well, what we try to do in the book, Bob, is we try to argue that the reason why we think this change to intangible investment is interesting is because intangible investment has got some interesting economic properties. For example, a company with a lot of, you know, a taxi company with a lot of vehicles, if it wants to carry more passengers, has got to invest in more vehicles. It's got to invest in more equipment. Whereas a taxi company like Uber with software, if it wants to carry more passengers, it can just scale up on its existing using its existing intangible assets. So, what we think is that the economy is becoming split into those companies who can scale up much more easily and exploit their intangible assets in various ways, and those companies who are much more tangible base, who've got much more difficulty in doing that. And that means that those companies who can scale up can really get in the lead as far as productivity is concerned, leave the laggards behind, and then the overall rate of productivity may very well slow.
And we've seen something here in the United States. I'm sure you've seen it in the UK as well. But we've seen it to an increasing degree in the United States, where companies have these investments, these tangible investments in, for example, in infrastructure, in buildings, in inventory, all these things that they've put in place in places such as, for example, malls, gigantic malls. And then along comes Amazon, and Amazon, they don't need the mall. They just really need their supply center, their distribution center, and their website, and they're in business. Meanwhile, the individual with all this capital invested in the mall, they can also go and start an online business, but they seem to be at a disadvantage, and they've been punished in the stock market as being at a disadvantage. What are your thoughts there?
I mean, I think that's absolutely right, and one of the sort of puzzling features of that is to ask the question, why haven't the traditional, you know, tangible-based mall-type companies been able to duplicate what Amazon has done? And I think one of the reasons that we put forward is that we think that one of the points about intangible investments is they've got tremendous synergies. That is to say, if you group together, you know, canny software with, you know, a terrific reputation and, you know, the knowledge of business processes, which is exactly what Amazon, you know, has managed to do, that combination can be very, very, you know, potent in the marketplace, and I think accounts for a lot of Amazon's success. And other companies, it's just has proved to be much more difficult for them to do all of that. And that bundling together of intangible assets, we think, is a distinctive feature that marks out a lot of the very successful companies who are dominating the U.S. stock market nowadays.
And our guest is Jonathan Haskell, the professor of economics at Imperial College London. And Jonathan's new book, which he co-wrote, is Capitalism Without Capital, The Rise of the Intangible Economy. One of the things that's fascinating about particularly these online companies that have disrupted commerce so in their favor is the notion of being first. Now, in the razor blade business, right, if you're first, that's wonderful, but it doesn't necessarily guarantee you success. Xerox is a company that was first in a lot of technological breakthroughs, and it got them pretty much nowhere over the long term, as other companies benefited from those breakthroughs, but not so much Xerox. And yet, in this new world we live in, world that you're talking about, this intangible world, it seems like being first is like everything. I mean, a perfect example is the way Amazon dominates the consumer on the web, but there are so many other examples out there, the way Airbnb has come in and disrupted the hotel business, and many others as well in the search engine business. Take a company like Alphabet. It seems like being first in the intangible world is way more valuable than it used to be first in, for example, in some product area.
I think there are some examples of that, Bob, but I'm not totally sure of that. I mean, I forgive me, I hate to contradict you on your own show, but
Please do. That's what it's all about.
You're very kind. I mean, if you think about, you know, you mentioned the search engine. You know, but back in the day, you know, people thought that AltaVista and Lycos and these various other search engines, you know, were going to dominate Google. So I'm not sure, although there are some examples of being first, you know, is of great benefit to companies, I'm not sure that's totally the case. Well, what I think is essentially going on is there are sort of two opposing factors. And you know, sometimes one wins out and the other wins out. The opposing factors of these is the synergies that I mentioned. That is to say, if you can be like Google and be like Amazon and bundle together these intangible assets, particularly software, particularly reputation, you know, those types of assets, if you group those together, you can obtain tremendous corporate success. On the other hand, these intangibles can spill over to other firms. That is to say, other firms can look at your design and copy what you do. For example, in Apple, you know, before Apple had the smartphone, everybody's smartphone, you know, looked all very different. And once Apple came out after about 16 months, everybody's smartphone looked kind of the same. So I think it's these are two opposing factors. You know, one that you can copy other people's intangible assets in a way that you can't their tangible assets. On the other hand, the companies who do well can build up these synergies. And I think what we seem to be seeing at the moment is the emergence of these, you know, very, you know, well-managed companies who can push together those synergies in a very effective way, and they seem to be the ones who are dominating the market. But, you know, maybe, who knows? Maybe the effect of the spillovers, maybe the effect of the ability to copy them or outdevelop them, you know, other competitors might come along.
Well, now this is a time of year when many of our listeners have offspring that are applying to colleges, and many of them are getting the word back now, the good news or the bad news, on their selected colleges for their going to college starting in August or September this year. What implication does your work have for those thinking about selecting a college major going forward? Because there are clear implications here.
Well, I think they're rather mixed, actually. So many people, Bob, have said to us, surely to succeed in the intangible economy, you've got to be the best at the various dimensions of the intangible economy that there are. So haven't you got to be the best programmer or the best coder? Or haven't you got to be the best designer or the best, you know, software algorithm writer or something like that? Doesn't everybody have to queue up and, you know, do all those kinds of things? And we think that there's some of that, but there's a neglected aspect, which is part of what managing these intangible businesses is nowadays, is coordinating these groups of essentially knowledge and ideas workers, the terrific programmers, the great marketing people, you know, the tremendous designers. And the job of coordinating those and bringing those together, it's not clear that you necessarily have to be the greatest programmer or the greatest software engineer, actually, for that. I think you probably have to be a people person to be able to bring, you know, disparate creative groups together. And those types of people, they might have a college background in, I don't know, poetry, history, classical studies, English history, if I may say. Lots of different possibilities, I think.
But it all adds up to getting a higher education.
It does add up to getting a higher education. That is true. But the talents one needs in this new economy, as I say, are not only to be successful in those particular intangible dimensions, but to be successful in coordinating these things together, and in interpersonal relationships and things like that. Those, I think, will be valuable talents in the future.
Jonathan, in the United States, if you want to go to college, with some exceptions, you have to come up with the money to pay for the college. College is exceedingly expensive in many cases. Yes. In the United States. In the United Kingdom, it's a different situation. It's a merit system. Tell us a little about that.
Well, you have high school, exams, which you have to do well in, just as you do in the U.S., but it tends to be a national system, so you're competing essentially against absolutely everybody else. And that means that squeezing into the top colleges is very, very hard, and you need absolutely the best grades at high school. So it tends to be a much more centralized system, with people taking not exactly the same high school exams, but very similar high school exams in order to compete their way in.
So do you have students that would like to go on to college that can't do it because of money?
We do, but we have a much more generous system here of financial support, where the government essentially gives you a lot of support to go to college, which you then pay back over quite a long period, the terms of which are pretty forgiving as well. So there's basically a pretty big federal government subsidy to people who go.
In other words, the UK government places a very, very high premium on the value of having their young students go on and get a higher education.
It certainly does. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, I wish I could say the same thing for the USA, but based on what we're looking at right now, it would be very difficult to make that kind of an observation. I don't see it that way at all. Many are unable to go because of money, which doesn't seem to be a good reason not to be able to go, but it does happen in many cases. We're talking with Jonathan Haskell, co-author of Capitalism Without Capital, The Rise of the Intangible Economy. We're taking your calls for Jonathan in the next segment and talking further about his book, 1-800-934-2221. 1-800-934-2221. This book selected as one of Financial Times' best books of 2017. The title of the book, Capitalism Without Capital, our guest, Jonathan Haskell, right here on Money Talk.
This is Money Talk.
The expensive mattress you're considering buying is a waste of money because it isn't customized to you. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of HelixSleep.com, the only place to get a customized mattress starting at just $600. Just go to HelixSleep.com, fill out our 2-minute sleep survey, and we'll design a mattress made just for you with a 100-night sleep trial and financing as low as 0%. For a limited time, get $50 off your mattress order when you go to HelixSleep.com/talkradio. That's HelixSleep.com/talkradio.
Hi, Tom Baudet. Motel 6 is still the place to save money as you travel down the highway. Or, for you Californians, the freeway. Whether you're on a cross-country trek on Interstate 10 or a fun jaunt up State Route 1, a.k.a. the 10 or the PCH, there's probably one of our more than 1,400 locations right down the road. Or, for Californians, just over the hill. But it's rush hour, so I'd take the canyon. I'm Tom Baudet from Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Rob Marinko. A woman killed in a 200-foot fall while rock climbing in the Cleveland National Forest was publicly identified today. She was 33-year-old Joy Welling from Montclair. She fell Saturday afternoon at the waterfall near the Blue Jay Campground. Firefighters discovered a man's body today at a house fire in Wilmington. That discovery was made early this morning in a home on East Robideau Street. It is 5 weeks and counting for Black Panther's reign atop the U.S. box office. The Marvel Disney superhero vehicle took in another $27 million in U.S. ticket sales. The KBC SoCal weather forecast, rain on the way for late Tuesday. Meanwhile, we'll have a partly cloudy sky, overnight lows in the 40s and low 50s, daytime highs in the 60s to low 70s. Right now, it is 56 in Costa Mesa and 56 in downtown L.A. More news coming up and continuous coverage at KABC.com. I'm Rob Marinko, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Hey, what's going on around your house? Need a little help? A second opinion? Well, I'm here to help answer any questions you have about your home. All you have to do is call. Join me, Lou Manfredini, every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on House Smarts Radio, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
If you have to call a plumber, why not call one who shows up on time and smells good? Like Mike Diamond, the Smell Good Plumber, at 1-800-446-MIKE. Or you can always book your appointment online at MikeDiamond.com.
We already know you love listening to KABC. Now you can enjoy listening to KABC and play free poker online. Go to KABC.com, click the poker tab, and play free poker today against your friends. Listen to KABC all day and play free poker. Why drive to a card room or a casino when you can play for free with your friends? Play in single games or tournaments, customize your avatar, and more. Go to KABC.com, click the poker tab, and listen to KABC. Brought to you by MyGameRoom.com and GreaterGood.org.
At Simple Mobile, you get the no-contract advantage. Unlimited talk and text plus 3 gigabytes of high-speed data for $25 a month with no mystery fees and no activation fees ever. Just $25 a month on a lightning-fast 4G LTE nationwide network and no contract. That's our best deal ever. Buy yours now at nationwide retailers like Best Buy or at Simple Mobile dealers. Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
A month equals 30 days. Limited time offer ends 9/30/18. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at simplemobile.com.
Ratings based on a 2018 survey of 1,600 U.S. singles.
I wasn't so sure about getting on eHarmony, but my brother said, hey, I met my wife on eHarmony. Just give it a shot.
They got us talking, and then we realized we were meant for each other.
eHarmony has the highest quality of matches. That's why we're rated the number one trusted dating site.
Gave it a shot, and I found the best person for my life.
For a limited time, get a free month included when you buy a three-month plan. Go to eHarmony.com. Use code 3333. eHarmony.com. Use code 3333.
Feeling great on a regular basis is not just a given anymore. You have to work for it. Adding Quantum Nutrition Lab's Quantum Colostrum to your daily routine supplies you with essential immune support. This power-packed, full-body colostrum concentrate delivers a broad spectrum of multiple immune support agents. Buy two bottles and get the third one free. Call 888-588-7578. That's 888-588-7578. Or visit us online at qnlabs.com. That's qnlabs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Tune in to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works.
At Simple Mobile, you get the no-contract advantage. Unlimited talk and text plus 3 gigabytes of high-speed data for $25 a month with no mystery fees and no activation fees ever. Just $25 a month on a lightning-fast 4G LTE nationwide network and no contract. That's our best deal ever. Buy yours now at nationwide retailers like Best Buy or at Simple Mobile dealers. Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
A month equals 30 days. Limited time offer ends 9/30/18. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at simplemobile.com.
Ratings based on a 2018 survey of 1,600 U.S. singles.
I wasn't so sure about getting on eHarmony, but my brother said, hey, I met my wife on eHarmony. Just give it a shot.
They got us talking, and then we realized we were meant for each other.
eHarmony has the highest quality of matches. That's why we're rated the number one trusted dating site.
Gave it a shot, and I found the best person for my life.
For a limited time, get a free month included when you buy a three-month plan. Go to eHarmony.com. Use code 3333. eHarmony.com. Use code 3333.
Disrupting society as we knew it. I'll give you a couple examples. I'm sure you're familiar. We have had neighborhoods around the country up in arms at the impact that Airbnb has had on turning what were nice, once nice, quiet family neighborhoods into rental tsunamis. And, those who live there, who just want to live there and not rent, wind up going to, a series of, council meetings that generally result in very little, accomplished. Your thoughts?
Well, I think part of the issue here, Bob, is that it's one of the reasons why the intangible economy is an interesting economy, is that we have got a pretty good sense as a society about who owns tangible goods, right? If I own my house, you know, that is a pretty well-established thing. You can't come in it unless I ask you. You know, with those kind of property rights have been nailed down. for thousands and thousands of years. But the ownership of intangible goods, you know, who owns, you know, ideas, who owns patents, you know, things like that, that's all much more recent. And part of, I think, of the difficulties of adapting to the new type of intangible economy is getting ourselves as a society to work out some of these social norms. And when these new companies like Airbnb come along, you know, working all of that out is part of the adjustments that we've got to make. You know, your listeners will probably know that in London there's a very big court case going on about Uber and the relationship with its drivers, whether it employs the drivers, whether it doesn't employ the drivers, and that is going to take a long time to figure out in the courts. And that's part of the adjustment, as I say, to this new type of economy we're facing.
This is all well and good. At the same time, it's still as unwelcome as it was on the day it appeared. Another example that I can think of is something that's going, I don't know if you're having that in London, it wouldn't surprise me, but we're certainly having it in cities across the United States where a new app has come along showing what route to take, for example, during a commute to avoid the traffic. And the next thing that happens is residential streets get flooded with commuters. And
right.
I have to say, some of this stuff is beyond unwelcome. In fact, some of the laws are being changed on the local streets to try to combat it.
Absolutely, and I'm sure, you know, when driverless cars come along, then mm-hmm. we're going to have a whole load of, you know, new rules and regulations we're going to have to work out. Because, you know, what if the driverless car just comes along and drives in front of your house? You can't go out inside and tell it to go away and park someplace else. So, yeah, I mean, this is going to be tricky. And as I say, it's one of the things which make this whole process of an adaption to an intangible economy a pretty intriguing thing.
Okay, so basically we've all learned the axiom that there really is no way to stand in the path of progress. Is that what this all comes down to? That this stuff is all going to happen whether you hate it or not?
I don't know, actually. I mean, you know, maybe this is a very European attitude, Bob. So, you know, you tell me if I'm being very parochial here, that I think innovation and the introduction of these new techniques and these new apps and these new ways of doing business, I think all of that kind of thing, that introduction into society, needs society's permission in quite a sort of deep sort of sense. And, you know, perhaps part of what we're seeing here in the UK with things like Brexit, and maybe, you know, with the rise of populism in other countries, you know, in Europe and possibly in the US as well, is maybe we're seeing that the social consent around innovation and around these new technologies is breaking down. And perhaps it might be enough to, you know, stop some of it in its tracks. I mean, as I say, big court case at the moment going on between Uber and its drivers. Uber is currently, well, it's currently banned in London, although since it's under appeal, it is still operating. And who knows? You know, it might be that, you know, Uber is simply not allowed to operate because it doesn't have that social consent anymore.
Well, the only reason I mention it is I think most of us have been programmed through our lifetime that we have to adjust to progress, we have to adjust to breakthroughs, and there's really not much point in trying to stand in the way of them. Although when I look at some of these examples, like the impact of Airbnb on neighborhoods through rentals, the impact on traffic through the new traffic app, scheduling people through residential communities to avoid the traffic, and these seem to be pushing the envelope.
Well, I think that's right. I think in a broader sense, you know, what we've seen in Europe, to a slightly less extent in the US, but certainly in Europe, is that growth, you know, since more or less the Second World War, has basically, if I can use the phrase, has lifted all boats, if you see what I mean. Except in the last decade or so in Europe, where growth seems to have gone disproportionately to the owners of capital, rather than labor, and it's gone disproportionately, you know, to the top 0.1%, and you've had those types of changes in the US as well. And those big changes, I think, have made people much more wary about how capitalism is developing relative to possibly previous years where perhaps people weren't quite so concerned about it, since the fruits of that capitalist development, the fruits of growth, were, you know, perhaps spread a little bit more evenly.
Yeah, I haven't heard too much in terms of innovation on how to deal with that problem, and it's a growing problem. About the only innovation that's been tabled recently for discussion is the notion of a guaranteed minimum income. I'm sure you've heard about that one.
Yes, and even in Europe, where we have fairly generous welfare states, I think most people are fairly hesitant about that. Essentially, Bob, because if you just do the maths, you know, your listeners will probably know that if you do the math, the trouble with a guaranteed minimum income is that it's very, very expensive. And I think many countries in Europe have perhaps flirted with the idea, but I doubt they're going to go with it for that reason.
Well, I'd say we definitely can't afford it in the United States. Looking ahead, as you probably heard, we're looking forward to a trillion-plus annual deficits starting next fiscal year.
Well, that's right. And at the moment, you know, certainly in Europe, welfare payments that we pay out are essentially to the elderly and then targeted at, you know, the poor and the working poor. And if one were to just get rid of all of that and give everybody some income, it may have some beneficial aspects to it, but essentially you'd end up giving, everybody income, you know, many people who aren't getting anything at the moment, and it would just end up being extremely expensive.
Jonathan, you're a professor of economics. Where is the world headed with all of this mounting debt and borrowing?
Well, if we can get a bit of growth back, Bob, I think that many economists are reasonably relaxed about debt as long as we can get some growth to pay it all back. If, on the other hand, the economy keeps stagnating and growth eludes us, then I think we've got to worry quite severely about, how to pay all that stuff back. So I think it goes back to whether we think that this, you know, wave of intangible investment and the things which are coming alongside it, artificial intelligence, things like that, if we think that wave of investment can bring growth back, then we can grow our way out of those debt problems, I think.
Yeah, of course, in the U.S., there's no thought of paying down the national debt. The thought is to pay the interest on the national debt. That would suffice. And I think that most people would be perfectly happy if we're able to just pay the interest on the national debt. When you're running annual deficits of a trillion plus, you're not thinking about paying off your debt.
Sure, but it gets, you know, life gets much easier when you've got some economic growth going on. You know, if you go to Italy, if you go to Spain, to a certain extent, I'm sorry to say, if you go to Britain, where growth has been very anemic for really a long time now, then that debt starts looming very, very large, and even just paying off the interest gets to be very difficult. Now, of course, we've got very, very low interest rates at the moment since central banks have pushed interest rates down so low. But if interest rates were to go up and growth were not to come with it, then I think we might be facing some significant problems.
And as an economist, Jonathan, share your thoughts on why you think a growth engine in the old days like the United States has had such a relatively low rate or moderate rate of growth for so many years. I mean, we're still stuck in the twos in terms of annual real GDP.
We are, and I have to say that this is the reasons for this have eluded most economists, despite our best efforts in having a go at all of this. There are a few, fingers of suspicion you could point to. One is that, of course, the statistical authorities have got a lot of trouble measuring the economy nowadays. You know, much of the statistics of measuring GDP, we talk about this a little bit in the book, if people are interested. Much of the statistics and the methods of measuring GDP really do refer to a tangible economy. You know, when GDP was first invented as a counting method in the 40s and the 50s, and there was a lot of, you know, rebuilding going on after the war, lots of buildings, you know, lots of plant and equipment and all of that kind of thing. We've got a GDP structure which is designed to measure that type of economy, rather less well to measure, you know, free apps and that kind of thing as well. So I suspect there are some measurement issues. The other possibility, of course, is that the economy is just adapting to a lot of new structures, a lot of new ways of doing business, and that form of adaptation might pause growth before we see the forces of growth coming back again.
Have you had any thoughts, Jonathan, in terms of measuring economic growth, of what the bean counters might be missing?
Well, I think they're missing a lot of free stuff. There's much, you know, when the bean counters count all of this, they have to count something which has got a price. So, you know, you can count spoons and you can count, you know, tables and chairs and iPads and things. But if there are free apps around and Wikipedia and things like that, then, of course, bean counters don't know what to count because, you know, they haven't got a price. So quite a lot of that, I think, is made very difficult to measure.
We've been taught over time that two key ingredients to real GDP growth are growth in population for the workforce part of it and growth in productivity. We don't seem to have much of either right now.
Well, that's right. Certainly in Europe, the growth in population is held down because that depends crucially on immigration types of policies as well, about which, you know, going back to what we were saying before, there's not much political consensus. But of course, the economic growth and productivity growth comes from a number of different places. Part of that goes back to the discussion we were having earlier on, Bob, you know, that of course in the US and in Europe, we had many years after the war where we were able to educate many more people in the society. You know, many people, you know, in the 1950s, you know, hardly even graduated from high school. So we had a great gift of economic growth over that long period, as we sent more and more people to school, and part of that, that gift, that opportunity for growth is perhaps fading out a little bit, as people's education gets higher and higher.
Our guest is Jonathan Haskell, co-author of Capitalism Without Capital, The Rise of the Intangible Economy. One wonders, Jonathan, whether the intangible economy is more subject to manipulation than the tangible economy. I particularly would allude here to, as an example, Facebook.
Yep.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things going on. One is, in quite a fairly sort of narrow sense, you know, a number of these, especially tech companies, have got to get much smarter about stopping clever people manipulating them from the outside. And so that's a whole set of issues, you know, around, for example, the efforts that Google makes to stop people from, you know, gaming its algorithm to obtain, a preferable point on the advertising side and the search side and all that kind of thing. So there's a lot of kind of very high-tech, you know, computer security types of issues that those companies have got to do. So that's one sense in which the intangible economy, you know, there's more external threats and there's more things to deal with. I guess the other sense is that to the extent that things like reputation matters much more, reputation is something that can fall away very easily and very fast. So all you have to do is look at a bank, for example, look around the time of the banking crisis. All these banks we thought were very secure turned out not to be secure at all. So I think one of the other sort of broader senses of possibly vulnerability or possibly volatility in the intangible economy comes around the kind of delicacy of things like reputation and those other types of intangible assets that firms own.
Jonathan, why do you think it is that a disproportionate amount of the technological innovation has occurred in the United States?
We in Europe, Bob, we wish we knew the answer to that question, I have to say. And I think people have settled upon sort of two notions. One is the fairly unique set of characteristics around Silicon Valley and the ability of those entrepreneurs and those venture capitalists, you know, around that area, you know, to finance the phenomenal kind of tech growth. And that's really speaks to a system, a kind of a financial and banking system, which we just haven't managed to duplicate in Europe. You know, possibly we're too invested in the old-fashioned banks. Possibly these things are just very difficult to bring forward. That's one set of reasons. I think the other set of reasons is around intellectual property. We have much less clear and possibly rather restrictive rules around intellectual property and what you can and cannot do around copying. And that would make it much more difficult for companies like Google and things like that to start in Europe. Because, for example, showing the results of search which involves a little bit of copying, because, you know, you've got to say, you know, you've got to copy the document that you search for. The legal uncertainties are, in Europe are much more difficult around that.
Our guest, Jonathan Haskell, Jonathan, co-author of Capitalism Without Capital, The Rise of the Intangible Economy. Again, Jonathan, we really appreciate the fact that you stayed up late in London for us tonight here in the USA, across several time zones all the way out to Hawaii to speak with us and share your views. Congratulations on your new book, and we wish you continued success.
Pleasure, Bob. Thank you very much for having me on.
This is Money Talk.
Money Talk. Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next-door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area.
Sponsored by the California Army National Guard, aired by the California Broadcasters Association and this station.
March is National Frozen Food Month. Stop by your local freezer aisle for delicious and convenient solutions for any occasion. And visit EasyHomeMeals.com to enter the $10,000 sweepstakes and view official rules. Ends April 2nd. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
Norm's Bigger Better 4-Course New York Steak Dinner for just $12.99. A half-pound New York steak, 6 fried shrimp, potato, vegetables, soup, salad, and dessert. All day, every day for $12.99. Norm's Restaurants.
SoCal homeowners, have you heard the price of solar is going up? Well, we're driving down the price. Right now, it's the Semper Solaris March Mania Sale. Save up to $6,000. That's unheard of. Semper Solaris, your local and veteran-owned SunPower Elite dealer, is the fastest-growing solar and roofing company in California. Installing the most energy-efficient solar panels with the best possible warranty at the lowest possible price. Go solar and roofing American style with Semper Solaris. They're rated A-plus with the BBB and have hundreds of five-star reviews. Save up to $3,000 with the equivalent of the expired state solar rebate. Save an additional $2,000 on a new roof, plus military and online discounts. Add in your 30% federal tax credit, plus zero money down, zero payments until 2019. That's a savings of up to $6,000. It's madness! Don't wait. March Mania won't last. Call now. 213-296-1399. 213-296-1399. Or visit ZephyrSolaris.com. Rebate amount based on size of system and awarded after installation or as a discount off the system price. Tax credit based on eligibility. Consult your tax advisor. Savings based on size of roof. New customers only. Unapproved credit. Restrictions may apply. Offer ends 331-18. CSO number 97815.
That's Harry. Com. Code 0606.
A list of things that will let you down today. Your alarm clock, C-store coffee, public transportation, the office elevator, the sandwich you packed for lunch, the fifth floor printer, your cell phone battery, the shoelace you swore you double knotted, your hard drive, your backup hard drive, and of course, the weather. Brighten your day with something you can actually count on. GoToMeeting is the easy-to-use collaborative meeting tool that 18 million monthly users trust to help them get work done. To learn more about how you can meet better, visit gotomeeting.com.
Save more with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Hey, what are you doing up here on the roof?
I want to tell the world I just met the woman of my dreams. Well, what about you?
I want to tell the world that Liberty Mutual saved me $782.
Liberty did what?
They saved me $782.
Oh, you go first then. $782 really puts finding love into perspective.
Visit us online to get a quote and you could save $782. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Based on a recent countrywide new customer survey, coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company, Equal Housing Insurer.
GoToMeeting is the collaborative meeting tool trusted by over 18 million monthly users. But how do we make the concept of 18 million more real for you? Well, if you wanted to travel 18 million miles, you could go to the moon and back 36 times and still have a few miles left over for a detour. $18 million could buy you 4.5 million non-fat iced lattes, which would keep you caffeinated from now until the end of your career. Or if you took 18 million standing desk breaks, well, you'd probably be in great shape. Visit GoToMeeting.com to learn why so many people trust us to help them get work done.
Hey guys, your prostate should be the last thing on your mind, but the fact is, the older you get, the more likely you'll have prostate problems, which can affect your everyday life. That's where Prostate Complete by Real Health comes in. Prostate Complete is the result of 20 years of experience as a leader in men's health. The powerful formula in Prostate Complete supports natural prostate function and reduced urinary urges for a better quality of life. Available at Walmart, visit prostateoneperday.com for special offers. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is Money Talk.
We are back on America's Money Program, and we do appreciate the company, and we thank you for joining us. For information on my investment letter, that's Bob Brinker's Market Timer investment letter, go to bobbrinker.com and request a complimentary back issue. Easily done right there at the website homepage at bobbrinker.com. Just click on the Request a Complimentary Back Issue feature. That's all there is to it. And by looking at a back issue, you'll be able to see the format and the recommended format for no-load mutual funds, the model portfolio section. We take a look at the market outlook, the Federal Reserve, things of that sort. So all of that information is available at bobbrinker.com to get a back issue. Also, of course, you can stream Money Talk to your computer, download to your smartphone. That's Money Talk On Demand. The investment talk is year-round, of course. So with Money Talk On Demand, you listen wherever you go, whenever you like, as so many do around the globe. Sign up at bobbrinker.com right there at the Money Talk On Demand logo. Should be an interesting week ahead. We'll be able to see how the market absorbs the news that the trade situation seems to be moving forward with some conflict between the United States and China in particular. We'll see how that moves forward with the U.S. pulling out of the Buenos Aires talks at the G20 on trade, and we'll see how that is accepted by investors going forward. Certainly there are concerns out there about the whole subject of trade. Hey, before they beam me out of here, let me thank all of our Money Talk Trekkies for cruising with us on the Starship Money Talk. Program coordinator is Ravi Chandran, producer Meredith Oakes, and technical director is Angel Bordone. Till next time, happy investing, and may the odds be ever in your favor.